Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. So, our first item for the day will be about Gentoo. Looks like Gentoo developers are not fans of AI, as they have now implemented a complete ban on AI-assisted contributions to the distro. It concerns any content, not just code, that used AI in the process of its creation, and all that content is now prohibited. The reasons are the ones everyone can point out to when discussing the current state of AI tools. First, there's the copyright problem. Accepting contributions that used AI right now might create legal problems in the future if a country or another rules that training AI on public content breaches copyright laws. You never know if something that you actually submitted and added to your distro might need to be removed, plucked out, or replaced, so might as well not accept that until there's a solid ruling, at least where you operate as a company or as a non-profit. The second issue is quality related. AI cannot always generate high quality code or other content. It can be very, very random, which means that it's not up to the task of what Gentoo developers want to work with. It could add an extra burden when reviewing the accuracy of AI-assisted contributions because you have to check everything from top to bottom, which you would have had to do for a human as well, but the thing is, for humans, at least after someone has contributed for a while, you know that their code quality should be okay. For an AI, you could get some great code once and some really bad code after that. Finally, there's the ethical problem. AI training uses enormous amounts of power and of water as well to cool everything down, and until the potential copyright infringement issue is unsettled, it would be pretty unethical to base your product on these tools. There's also the issue of AI disrupting jobs, creating a decline in service quality, as a bunch of companies are just firing their support staff to replace them with an AI chatbot, and it's also helping scammers and spammers to make their crappy stuff all the time. So in the end, I cannot disagree with Gentoo here. I'm sure we will get to a point where AI training will be done using only data that they bought the rights to use, whether it's fairly compensated or not, at least they will have acquired the rights. I don't think the current state of affairs can keep going as it is without someone at least stating that they should compensate people or at least give some form of attribution or respect the licenses of the content they use. Even if it seems hard to do, it will probably happen. I'm sure at some point AI will only be trained on renewable energy and its contributions to society will be justifiable enough, maybe big enough, that it justifies the amount of power and resources that it uses. But for now, it's all pretty great. These tools can be fantastic, but right now they're rushing without considering the wider impacts, and I think it is fair for an open source project to try to slow things down. Now, our second topic will be about NVIDIA. Ben Skeggs, the very long-time Nuvo maintainer who resigned a few months back, found employment at NVIDIA. That's not very surprising because he basically worked on NVIDIA drivers for a decade working on the Nuvo project. Even though it was on the open source driver, not on NVIDIA's proprietary drivers, but also that work was basically full reverse engineering, which is very impressive. So it is not super surprising that NVIDIA would want to nab someone who actually understood all their hardware without having access to any specs, compared to someone they would have hired that could write the drivers because they have all the necessary specifications and documentation. So that's something. But also, Ben just contributed a new series of 156 patches to the Nuvo driver this week, even though he said that he was retiring from maintaining that driver. And those patches are here to clean up the code for GSP support. That was his last previous contribution to Nuvo. It was what enabled the Nuvo drivers to actually get decent performance on recent NVIDIA GPUs by allowing the drivers to change the clock speed of the GPU instead of being locked to the very, very slow clock speed the GPU goes to when you're booting the computer. All that new code was also submitted from Ben's NVIDIA work address as well, meaning that it's not impossible that his work is now sponsored by NVIDIA, or maybe it was part of his contract with NVIDIA to let him work on the Nuvo drivers when he's working at the company. At any rate, it is fantastic to see more contributions to Nuvo from Ben. And if that means NVIDIA also wants to invest in that driver, which I'm just assuming that that is what it is, because if not, he probably would not have contributed from his NVIDIA address. So it probably, but not certainly, but probably means that NVIDIA is okay or supporting that work. So that's pretty good as well. I don't know how that slots in with NVIDIA's own proprietary drivers, because they do have those. They have kernel modules that they publish. They are not mainstreamed in the Linux kernel like Nuvo can be, but they do have these efforts. So would they sponsor work on Nuvo instead of work on their own open source kernel modules? I am not sure, but it still looks like they're okay with that. And still on NVIDIA, it looks like hybrid laptop users on GNOME will soon get much better performance when using their integrated GPU and the dedicated GPU in hybrid graphics mode. Mutter, which is GNOME's compositor, just got support for GPU copy acceleration, meaning that the frames that your NVIDIA GPU generates will be displayed much faster when it's the integrated GPU that's handling the brunt of the work. If you've used a hybrid graphics laptop, for example, Intel plus NVIDIA, you can plug in an external monitor through a DisplayPort or USB or HDMI port. But if you try to render a game using the NVIDIA GPU that is then displayed on the external monitor through the Intel GPU, you had basically half the performance you were expecting. Instead of running at 60, you were running at 30 FPS. In GNOME 47, this won't be the case anymore. You will run at the full expected performance, because now all the frames generated by the NVIDIA GPU are copied to the main frame buffer by being accelerated by the GPU itself. So you get normal performance in hybrid graphics mode in GNOME. That's something KDE already had, as far as I know, because I never encountered the problem on KDE, where I did encounter it on GNOME, but that's pretty cool to see. And our last topic for the day will be about the Cosmic Desktop. The alpha is still planned for the end of May, but they are still adding a bunch of stuff to the desktop. The main one being theming support, because applications built using GTK3 and GTK4, whether they are packaged as flat packs or through dev packages, can now be themed if the users wants that. There is a dedicated option in the appearance settings of the Cosmic Desktop to let you apply the current theme of your Cosmic Desktop to GTK apps, whether they're using Flatpak or not, LibAdvaita or not. So that's pretty cool. It was one of my main questions about Cosmic, because it's a brand new desktop environment. There were not going to have tons of applications out there that look the part and feel coherent, so you would have had to install applications from GNOME or from KDE. And at least on the GNOME side, we know the applications will be able to look sort of like your mainline Cosmic applications. They won't look like they were designed by the same people, because they don't have the same UX and UI guidelines, but at least in terms of colors and general look, they will look similar. There is no news about KDE app theming, though, because as far as I understand, theming Qt applications is much harder. You have to write the themes in C instead of just writing a CSS file, so probably harder. I hope they can manage that as well, but for now, there's no news. You will also be able to change the icon theme, of course. This will apply to both Cosmic and GTK applications. The Cosmic App Store is also moving along. They showcase the basic UI. It's nothing crazy. It looks like an app store. You've got a sidebar with the categories and the update tab, and then you've got the applications displayed on the main panel with a search bar. It's just what you would expect from an app store. Nothing really different here. They've also implemented super plus mouse drag to move windows around, much like what you can do in KDE or in GNOME. You press the super key, you click anywhere inside the window, and you can move it this way without having to aim for the title bar. That's pretty cool. The settings got some love as well, with the keyboard settings now being implemented. And we're also seeing some non-System76 contributions to the Cosmic Desktop. Someone apparently submitted touchpad gestures to switch workspaces. They submitted thumbnail previews for open windows in the dock, meaning that when you hover the icon in the dock, you immediately see a little thumbnail of the window. And they implemented screen edge window tiling and maximizing, so you can just, like with any other desktop, drag a window to a screen edge or corner and get that window tiled. This works with half tiling, but also quarter tiling. And there are also some third-party applications in the works. The first one is the Cosmic Tasks app that was created by an external contributor, and it might be the very first third-party app made using libcosmic. And there are other applications being worked on, like a clipboard manager, a fan control app, and an emoji selector. As per the compositor that Cosmic will use, it got some fixes for NVIDIA support, for X-Wayland, for screen capture, for supporting keyboard LEDs and supporting touchscreens, and from what they say, the performance seems on par for gaming, at least on Cyberpunk 2077, with the current version of Cosmic, which is based on GNOME. Which, on paper, fine, you've got like the same performance as what you would get on PopOS 22.04, The issue is, this uses GNOME 42, which is 2 years old by that point. GNOME 46 is out, and 47 is coming in like 5 months. So, comparing the performance of a very old version of GNOME that had pretty bad Wayland and X-Wayland support, and pretty bad NVIDIA driver support, comparing that with your desktop, it's not great. I would have much rather them compared that with a recent version of GNOME or Plasma 6, just to see if it actually compares to its current competition, because Cosmic as a desktop will never compete with the modified GNOME that PopOS used to ship. It will compete with GNOME and KDE, so you probably should do comparisons on that instead. Still, it is solid progress here. It is nice to see that first, there are some community efforts around that new desktop environment, even before it is out. You've got people contributing some actual features to the desktop and people creating applications. So at least it starts not in a vacuum. Second, it's nice to see that System76 actually showcases these efforts as well. It makes it feel like they are actually open to those contributions and that they're happy to receive some help on their efforts, which is pretty cool. Now, I do not expect the Cosmic desktop to be as full-featured and stable as the current versions of GNOME or Plasma when it comes out, but it does look like they're tackling all the important stuff before the alpha, so the first version should be pretty complete already, and I'm confident it will be a solid option right off the bat. You will probably be missing tons of features in the default applications and a few other systems that will not be there compared to Plasma or GNOME in the desktop itself, but it does look like it's going to be a very usable system right off the bat, which is cool. So, okay, this will conclude our episode for the day. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!